Hi, I'm Deborah Hamilton. Welcome to my podcast, Why Do Pets Matter? 10 years ago, with my iPhone and a script, I recorded the first episode of the Ultimate Pet Resolution Summit, which chatted with experts about conflicts over animals. Our conversations were intimate, honest, and illustrated how disagreements over animals occur and how those disagreements can reshape people's lives and relationships. In November 2019, I started Why Do Pets Matter, a new podcast that continued these informative discussions. I'm so excited to have you here with me, continuing my exploration into a more meaningful conversation about why pets matter to all of us. My guests and I will share ideas, stories, and experiences straight from the heart, unscripted and holistic. From the bravest moments to the most brokenhearted, we will explore how to resolve disagreements over animals differently. One thing I know for sure is I want to have more meaningful... Hi, it's Deborah Hamilton, and today we're going to talk with Debbie Dahmer. She is the voice of Voices Carry for Animals on Blog Talk Radio. She is the absolute voice for Adopt, Don't Shop, Spay and Neuter, and also how to speak to your legislators so that animals are top of mind and cared for. So let's hear what Debbie has to say. Hi, everyone. It's Deborah Hamilton, and this is Why Do Pets Matter? Today, I am so glad to have Debbie Dahmer on. She is the voice of Voices for Animals on talk show radio. She founded Voices for Animals in 2014. So this has been a long time commitment for Deb. Deb, thanks so much for coming to Why Do Pets Matter?
Hey, you're so very welcome. It is a pleasure and honor to be here, Deborah.
The honor is all mine.
Yes, I love this. And then you're coming on my show November 2nd. That's what I call teamwork. You know,
absolutely. Awesome. We've got to get the word out. So we always ask our guests the first question, Debbie, and you know what it is because we warn you, which is why do pets matter to you, Debbie?
Oh, yes. Pets mean so much to me. I mean, they are living animal beings. They're not property. I have two cats and a dog. You know, one Sugar Bear, she was adopted back over 4 years ago. Awesome. And she's so happy. You know, you have to care for them. And they got two cats. Victory, he was adopted back in January. And he's happy to. I found out from the shelter that his owner had lung cancer stage 4. So she had to, you know, put him in. And then Liberty, the other cat, she's awesome. She was living on the street under a year old, so took her in, and she's happy. They think they hit the Florida Mega Millions, okay? And that's the way I want them to feel, because they have feelings just like they, you know, we do. They love to be loved and cared for, taken to the vet, you know, fed, spend time with them, take pictures with them, you know, family photos, because they give unconditional love. I mean, talk to them. They love that. I mean, they're not the only pets I've had in the past. You know, they've stayed in this household until they passed away, got to older age and issues. So keep them until they, you know, leave, because if you hand them in when they're the, you know, the elderly, that's not fair to them. Hold on to them, love them, care them, because they deserve, all animals deserve better, okay, out there. And that's why I have these shows every Thursday. And over 9 years, Deborah, and 414 podcasts. So I'm going to keep going because I'm relentless. So everyone out there, these pets of ours, they're our furry loved ones. And they need us, and we need them. They're great companions. You know, go out there, adopt, don't shop, you know, spay and neuter your pets, get about, you know, all this, you know, putting them down millions a year, you know, foster if you have to, but the pets really do matter. I mean, they are furry loved ones, and that's the way they love to be treated. They want to be treated with dignity and respect, just like we do, Deborah.
I know, they get us through the toughest days. And when we were talking before we came on the air, we were talking about how to really help your animal in your neighborhood, in your state, in your county. And that's really by getting to know your legislators, not just when you want something from them, but otherwise. So you and I were talking about that, and you had specific steps to take if you want to help
to write a bill or get a bill passed, or at least try to help influence your neighborhood on the better care for the animals that live there.
Yes. And everyone out there, I have a nationwide number for you to call. I have it in my contacts. Stay in contact with your legislators. Be professional, be polite, and call them up or email them, whatever you feel comfortable with. And that nationwide number is area code 202-224-3121. And they'll ask for your zip code. And this is during business hours. Give them your zip code and it'll lead you right to your representative or senator. Most likely you won't get to talk to them, but ask to speak to their legislative aide. And you can be a creator of a bill, okay? I'm in for the ninth year. I have trying to get a bill on there right now, but ask them to, for a constituent bill proposal form. Have it either emailed to you or, mail it in your state, okay? And this is a timely manner, so you have to get it filled out as soon as possible and get it back to them so your rep can go over it, review it, get it into draft, get it approved. And once approved in January in 2024, when legislation starts up, it'll get in there for a vote for the state representatives and senators. Try to be professional and polite. That's the main thing, and work with them. If you have any questions, ask them, because they will lead you the way. I know my rep here in Florida, he is very patient, understanding. He goes over everything. So please, everyone, get them laws in there, new laws for all the Pauls, and better lives and futures for them, because it's so very important. They're just like us, Deborah. They can see, they can feel, they have feelings, everything, sleep, walk, they just speak in a different language. We have to give them that chance and love them and care for them, because that's so very important. Yes.
And most of the representatives are so willing to listen to you if you speak to them in a way that's curious, and you maintain, as you said, a professional demeanor, because it is important that if you want to move a thought forward, that you create that dialogue that, we all don't know everything. And sometimes being able to hear something different and considering it, if someone doesn't agree with us, it's never good. You probably agree. I don't know, Deb, but you probably agree. If they don't agree with us, that doesn't mean we can't win them over.
That's right. Because we got to be relentless, optimistic, proactive, and not give up. Because if we get into the bill in there, which I have had last 5 years, you have to get supporters too. Ask them to co-sponsor the bill. Call your representative. You have the bill number ready in front of you. Put it on social media, Facebook, Twitter, asking for support, because we are power in numbers, strength in numbers. So we have to do what's right and get it in there. Once it's in there and that bill passes, hey, look what you just did. You are a positive impact in this world, and in the animals world too. We want to rock the animals world with changes to be made. Let them live in freedom.
Right, and let them live with good care, and we're not,
yes,
necessarily judging people on their care, but we want to make sure everyone is safe and sound and cared for. Everybody has a different definition of that, yet there is a minimum standard that probably everyone could agree on, that pets should be cared for, because it's really important to make sure that people may not be as affluent as you or as understanding of pets as you are, yet we want to educate them, and we really don't want to deny them the ability to have a pet, and we can help them have a pet in a better way. It's always important, because we all know how important pets are to people who are having depression, anxiety. It's important to help them maintain their pets, keep their pets, and maintain their health.
That's right. It's so important, whether it's the elderly, the young, the children. When I was young, I was always brought up by two wonderful parents. treat animals with dignity and respect, and they adopt the dog. So that's where we try to get, hey, raise them right and raise them with, you know, treating animals right. And they'll move forward in their adulthood doing the same, like myself and a lot of animal lovers and advocates. You know, they need the love and care and spend time with them, because if you really look at it, Deborah, they don't really have long lives. So we have to enjoy them while they're here. You know,
right.
So, and if you lose a pet, which I have, you go and, you know, you think, you hear these people that say, I don't want to get another pet. I'm, you know, I'm done this and that because, you know, I so love this pet or this furry loved one. And I said, no, go get another one. That's what they would want you to do. You know, so.
Oh, they absolutely wouldn't. They usually put a pet in your path that you can adopt. And like Victory, you were put in Victory's path when their owner couldn't keep them anymore because of illness.
Right.
That's also something we definitely have to take stock of. If we have pets, what's going to happen to our pets if something happens to us? And what can we do to take on pets that are left in that situation?
Right, exactly. You got to think about that, because we could be here today and gone today. So it's always good to get a backup, you know, because pets are going to have to go to the shelter. And you know what happens when the shelters get overcrowded. And that's not fair to them, you know. So please, everyone out there, you know, we're all on this earth temporarily, including all the animals. So we have to pre-plan things to, you know, allow things like Victory and what happened to Victory. You know, he was in the shelter and he adjusted to this home very well. You know, got the attention and love, and he probably misses his owner. His ex name, Deborah, was Hugs. That's what they named him, because he gives you hugs and kisses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it is a good one. He'll put their one paw around one side of the neck and the other one on the other side, and then get on your cheek and give you a kiss.
Well, it's so great that he landed in such a soft landing for him. And that's why you are really one of the greatest advocates for adopting from shelters. Because if there is a dog that or cat that you can find that fits into your lifestyle, because we also have to be aware of what we can do and how we can do it. When you picked Victory, there must have been something about Victory that caught your eye.
Oh, yeah. I looked at him and I was looking at all of them, and you know, it's so hard. And they had
hard to pick, right?
Yes, it is. It had 180 cats in there. And Deborah, the one I picked, because you can go to the website or whatever and choose, or go in person. And a guardian angel paid his adoption fee, which was $80. And I'll never know who it was, but I'd love to thank him. You know, looking at their ones and you're just saying, looking, oh, which one do I get? You know, and you go from there. And which one, you know, because you want to give them a great home. You want to, you know, they're safe in the shelter. But what's even better yet is a TLC home. Bring them home and let them enjoy you, yourself, your family, your, you know, the friends and everything, because that means so much to them. And get treated great, you know, because no animal should be abused or neglected. That's a no-no, you know. So they are look the other way and say, well, I'm going to, you know, I got my pets here and they're fine, and not do anything for the ones out there that's not fine or in need and distress. Stand up for them, be their voice, because our voices really do matter in our actions, and make sure that we all wish they all had a TLC home, but that's not the way it is. And that's why we got to keep advocating and taking action is the key. Because if we, you know, we don't take action, everything is just going to roll over the same year after year, decade after decade. So everyone, please go out there, adopt, don't shop. And even Liberty, when she was on the street, you know, under a year old, how could you be so cruel and dump a kitten? You know, that's sad. And one of my friends, she was feeding her and making sure, you know, she was taking care of cycles. Her daughter is allergic to cats. So she had called me and said, Deb, can you help me out and put, she didn't name her Liberty. She didn't have a name for it yet. And on social media, help her find a home because she was afraid, you know, get hit by a car or attacked by wildlife. So I said, okay, I'll be over. And because I am admin on a lot of groups to help animals in need and, you know, death row and stuff like that. And so I went over there, met her, had the carrier, and she said, you know who would want, you know, this cat? And I said, yes. And she said, who? I go, me. So I took her and we got, you know, I got acquainted with her and everything, bought her home, and she was so lovable. And I was like, how can, you know, living on the street like that, it must be so difficult. But they're all happy. That's my main concern. You know,
yeah, they need to be happy. And sometimes there's a way you can help. If you can't get another cat or a dog, there's a way you can help by fostering for a little while, just to really evaluate the dog, because some people shy away from adoption because they don't know if the dog will be good with kids, with other dogs, with cats. And if fosters will volunteer to take the dogs or even the cats to see what they can tolerate, to see some of their personality outside of the shelter, because we both know that the personality of a dog in a shelter is not necessarily the real personality of the dog when it gets home.
That's right. Agreed. Because they're in a cage, so they're tied up. They can't get their freedom. And, you know, give them a chance. They're coming in your home. They have to get used to it. All animals do. They just don't come in and, you know, be real comfortable at first. I remember when Sugar Bear got adopted over 4 years ago, she came in and laid under the table and looked at me like, who are you and where am I at? And it was so funny. And I, you know, got acquainted with her, talking with her. And everything worked out great. You just have to spend some time with them. Don't put them aside. Don't ignore them, because they need attention and they love attention, especially.
And really, to get a shelter admin or someone to work with if you're having trouble. So if Sugar Bear had not come out of the from under the table for a long time, you know, establishing some relationship with the shelter so that they can help you try different things to get Sugar Bear out from under the table if she had had a long time under the table, because a lot of people will return them either because of job changes or sickness, like the lung cancer, or just because things that we might never think to leave our dogs at a shelter for. We have to understand that other people think differently than us. And if, in fact, they've lost their job, they've lost their home, we might just put the dog in the car. They might not even have a car. Sometimes leaving the dog in a shelter instead of on the street, like Liberty, right? Right. Is a much better situation than just, I mean, you and I have both heard of people who've left dogs or cats in an abandoned house.
Yes, definitely. And I'm reading all over the internet. This is sad and heartbreaking, Deborah, is that because of this high inflation, that the shelters are really filling up.
People can't feed their family.
And I know.
Or they can't get their medication. And so it's not that they don't love their animal, but they think, well, my animal's at least going to get shelter and food if I leave him at the shelter. I don't want him to be put to sleep. However, if they're young, it's unlikely they'll be put to sleep. If they're older, that's always a question. But then they can find somebody like you and I, older, who wants an older dog or cat so that we can give them the best last years of their lives.
That's right, because it matters so much. I mean, even the vet bills, the food bills. Look, we're getting hit from all angles. Something's got to give here because it's terrible. Who pays the price? The animals, especially if they get put down for overcrowding. Okay, they don't care what age they are. It's like an assembly line, vicious assembly line that doesn't stop. So everyone, please go out there and adopt. Don't shop. You know, spay and neuter your pets. The human beings are the roots to all problems. Now, we can't blame the animals. And so we have to look at it and say, hey, we have to do more, fight more, and do this, because a lot of these problems, Deborah, have been rolled over from the 20th century, and now we're in the 21st century, heading to the 22nd century. So we have to try it.
And we have so many things that are happening that sort of I scratch my head. I don't know if you do, but there are people who spend $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 on designer dogs that are really like the dogs in the shelter. And I'm sitting there going, if you want one of those, why don't you buy, go and get one of these, because you have just as much chance of getting that dog as you do if you adopt it from a shelter.
That's right. I mean, look at the dog, Sugar Bear. She's an Alaskan Malamute. They range from 1500 to 1900. And on Sugar Bear, at the shelter, she was healthy. She was checked out, everything. And she's beautiful, and she's it just amazes me how, and there was all these dogs in there, cats and everything. And I looked at Sugar Bear at, when she's in the kennel and everything, and I told her, sit, and she sat, and I said, give me paw, and she gave me her paw. She was listed as a stray coming in, and so I'm looking at it. They didn't even have the paperwork done, okay?
And no microchip.
Yeah, and I looked and I said, whoa, this is a good one, so I better put her on hold, okay? And so when I came back, this lady stopped me at the door, and she says, asking what kind of dog's back there. And she says, I was going to come and adopt that Alaskan Malamute, and because I heard her howling the other day. And so I looked at her. I said, I think I just adopted a wolf. and we were laughing so hard we couldn't think straight. But I looked at, dogs like, I hope all of you find a TLC home. And they all looked at me. It was so meaningful and heartfelt when I yelled.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of people get dogs because they see pictures, and especially in Florida, Debbie, an Alaskan Malamute fits into Florida. Oranges and tomato sauce, which don't necessarily go together because they have such a thick coat. And in the summertime, it's so hard for them.
Yes.
And maybe people get them because they are the cutest puppies known to man. And then when they grow up and they're no longer cute puppies, they say, well, and this Sugar Bear was trained. She sat, she gave you a paw. So let's think either that they didn't realize how affected she'd be by the temperature, or maybe they lost their job or the person died or whatever, because she was a stray, so you have no idea. But
yes,
clearly she was owned by somebody, and unfortunately they didn't microchip her. So everybody, if you have a dog now and you love them to pieces, make sure you microchip them, because it doesn't necessarily mean you'll get them back. Because if they aren't picked up as a stray and go to a shelter, if somebody picks them up, the veterinarians aren't necessarily required to scan them for a microchip, because it's a whole big story. But the long and short of it is, veterinarians don't have the right to scan a dog that is brought in for a checkup, because the person who brings it in is seen as the person who owns it. So Debbie, I'm sure you have this, but you should have multiple identifications on your dog. You should have a collar.
Yes.
With a number. You should have a microchip.
Yes.
Because it really is important if they get out that you find them, that somebody can get in touch with you, and that you have multiple ways of getting in touch with you if your dog gets out.
That's right, because that way they can contact you real quick and you got them there. You don't have to worry about them. Once they get away, you got to worry. If you don't have them, Chip, then they're not coming back, or you'll never find them. You hear the good stories that, the family got reunited with their dog after so many years, but that doesn't always happen.
It's very infrequent, because if somebody, right, if you picked up, so Sugar Bear didn't have a microchip. And so you got this dog that was beautiful and trained, and who knows what happened to the owners. Maybe they're still looking for Sugar Bear and just worried about him. But thankfully he landed on his feet in Clover in, Debbie Dahmer's house. So that's great. But we can't be so sure. So we need to really make sure we identify our pets. And if, God forbid, it gets lost, you spend some time putting up flyers, going to the local veterinarians. Because if you go to the local veterinarians and you leave a picture of your dog, and a dog that looks like your dog walks in, they may in fact say to the new person, Debbie, oh, Debbie, by the way, Susie Smith lost a Siberian that looked just like this. Would it be okay if I microchipped it? Because you, Debbie, if you had just gotten this dog from a shelter, and the the dog was lost, you would want someone to check it for your microchip to return it to you, because most people are really good that way. You know, I'd like to know that they would return the dog if in fact it was found that it belonged to somebody else. So the microchip always makes that a little bit easier. And if I do these situations all the time, Deb, so somebody has a dog and it's microchipped and then it belongs to somebody else. And I say to them, why can't the dog have two people? So if you can't take it, or if you've had it for, I don't know how old Sugar Bear was, but say Sugar Bear was 2 or 3 years old, you spent 2 or 3 years with them. And I always think, like you said before, you need to have somebody to take care of the pet if something happens to you. It's just that relationship can be continued. So either Sugar Bear would stay with you and they would keep in touch in case something happened and you needed help with him, or he'd be returned to his rightful owner and everybody would feel great. They just couldn't necessarily, they weren't contacted by the shelter. It's really interesting because, as I said at the beginning of this, you know, people are buying these dogs, these mixed breeds, for many thousands of dollars. And I just wish they would go to a shelter and look for a dog that looks just like them, because they're in there and the mixed breeds are in there as well. A lot That's of right. Labradoodles yes. and Golden Doodles and Cavachons are at the shelter because they didn't know what they were getting. They didn't turn out because, of course, you and I know, Deb, that if you breed them together, you only have like a 50% chance of getting that hypoallergenic dog. So if it doesn't turn out, they drop it off.
Yes. And another main thing, everyone, is take plenty of photos of your pet, because, you know, when you're like, I don't know if you know the Nextdoor app, and I'm on there, but they, you know, because it's surrounding neighborhoods, you should see how many pets are found on there just by posting photos, you know, and a description. Because, you know, the dog or cat's not going to get far, but they, when they find them and they post them on there, whether it's Facebook or Nextdoor or whatever. I remember this was several years ago, my next door neighbor, their dog got loose out of the fence. Okay. And the daughter came out of the house. She was crying. And I'm like, I didn't see her, Sadie. And I said, what's wrong? She says, Sadie, I went inside immediately, got my phone, went on Nextdoor app. Do you know Sadie's picture was on there? That the someone had found her and kept her until they got there, which was like maybe 5 minutes away. I was like, within 10 minutes of me getting involved with them, going on my phone and saying, hey, and here's the number to call to get her back. And I was just felt so good about it, because I was a part about bringing that, to bring Sadie back into her loving home, because he's a great dog too, you know, and most of them are, you know, majority.
Absolutely. And most people will take a dog off the street because they know if they don't, it might get hit by a car. So they take it off the street and they may be looking for you, and you have to do the best you can to put the pictures up so they can find you. And you need to do the best you can for them to find you as well. If you have found the dog, it's a two-way street, as you said, and it's so important. And most people really want to create that outcome where the dog is returned or goes to the best home for its future, like Liberty and like Sugar Bear.
That's right. She does. They don't have to worry about ever, you know, being abandoned again or living on the street, like Liberty was living on the street. They don't have to worry about that no more. They have a home until they pass away, or if I pass away, you know, that's another thing. But at least they know I know they're happy. That is my goal.
And so I'm so glad you brought that up, because when you are preparing for your pets, you need to, as you said before, you need to have someone who can take them, who can at least give them to someone or provide for them or know what the next steps are. And that has to be, fortunately or unfortunately, in writing, because you want to make sure that people know who gets Sugar Bear, who gets Victory, who gets Liberty, because that's as important as, you know, who gets the money, who gets the house, who gets the car. Well, that's more important is who gets the pets. And that has to be written down, easy to find, because if your dog goes to animal care and control with no direction, they could be adopted, and you, if they're adopted from a shelter or from a rescue, I hate to tell everybody, but you can't get them back. Because the contracts, if you don't show up and they can't get in touch with you, and even if you're the rightful owner, if you don't act within a certain amount of time, like 3 to 5 days, and then with the shelter, like, you know, until the dog is adopted, making sure that you are where you need to be, that people know who gets your pets or who to call. And I'm a big proponent of leaving the dog in the house until the person who's coming can take the dog. So I call them the nosy neighbors, Debbie, where, you know, you know the neighbor who can take care of the dog and knows to tell the EMTs who are carrying you out that they know who to call and leave the dogs and the cats alone. Just leave them in there. I know who to call. And she has a piece of paper or he has a piece of paper that says that, so that your pets take that next step that you want them to take, not that they take because it's an emergency.
That's right. And it's so important, Deborah. I mean, just like if you pre-plan your funeral, okay, and your will and everything, make sure it's on there. So that way the pets don't have to go to the shelter, you know, maybe the relatives or the,
And it's not just when you die, because we both know people who have had dementia, who've had a stroke, who you know, ended up, I mean, during COVID, there were so many dogs who went into the shelter because their owners went with a cold and then were on a ventilator. So it really is important that whether you're dead or alive, you have a plan for the next steps for your pet, short term or long term.
That's right. It's so important in your life because, like, you know, I was saying before, we never know how long we'll be on this earth because death does not discriminate towards, you know, right? It doesn't. All ages get hit. So we all have to look at that. And because I've heard so many people say, oh, I'm going to retire. Well, how do you know you're going to retire? You know, you could plan on retirement, but you don't know for sure if you're going to be here or
not. And your pet will be so happy to retire, except that maybe they have been sleeping while you go to work all day and you're going to disturb them during the day. So they're going to look at you and say, you know, you go for a walk. I sleep here.
That is a good one.
So we're just about at 30 minutes, Deb. Let everybody know how they can listen to Voices Carry for Animals. And then if you want, give them a way to get in touch with you or to learn more about you.
Okay. Anyway, if everybody wants to listen to my podcast, it's on every Thursday night, Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. And you can hit it by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Voices Carry for Animals. And you could listen by phone or you could listen by internet. Okay. The phone number is area code 310-982-4270. You will be in the queue. Press 1 to speak and try to refrain from any noises in the background, you know, radios, conversations, TVs, and you're more than welcome to come on board. You can also reach me on Facebook under Debbie, D-B-B-I-E, Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R. You can message me there. I am admin on Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook. Ask to join. We have so many death row, you know, dogs and cats and horses or whatever that you can help cross post. And a big shout out to all the cross posters and networkers out there, relentless to help save animals' lives. Okay, I'm also on LinkedIn. You just search Debbie Dahmer like before. And also Twitter. The PPJ Gazette Online, shows are promoted on there also under www.ppjg.me. And you can follow on the PPJ Gazette on the right-hand column. And every time there's an upcoming broadcast, and it will alert you in your primary email. You can also listen to all the archive shows, put in your Voices Carry for Animals or Animal Advocates Radio. All the links will pop up. There's a total of 414 now, so I don't think you have time to listen to all of them. But you can follow my podcast on Blog Talk Radio too. The Voices Carry for Animals is press to put your email address in, and it will alert you every time in your email that there's upcoming broadcast coming up. And Deborah, I can't thank all the former guests that came on, the amazing ones, the callers, the listeners, made it a total success. And it takes teamwork to see all the victories. I can't do it by myself, you know, so.
No, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. So I'm so grateful you were here. I'm looking forward to our continued discussion on November 2nd.
And yes.
And this is awesome. Wonderful. Thank you.
This has been wonderful. I can't thank you enough. I really enjoyed this. Can't thank you enough for having me on. Such an honor and a pleasure. And hey, host to host, coast to coast, together we speak out on air for all the animals in need. And that is awesome. But yep, thank you so much. Oh, and another thing, if sure. you want to be a guest on my show, you can email me at voicescarryforanimals@aol.com. And just tell me a little bit about yourself, any websites, you know, groups or pages on any of social media, a bio, and we'll schedule to come on board. And I do stand up and speak out for all the animals in need and distress. So it's it makes me feel good, Deborah. And I know it does you because you're being a true inspiration to humans and animals. And can't thank you enough. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Deb. Thank yes. you so much. So this has been Why Do Pets Matter? I'm Deborah Hamilton. Thanks to Debbie Dahmer for being here today. And remember to kiss your pets for me. Bye now.
The Why Do Pets Matter podcast drops every Thursday and can be found on whichever platform you find your podcast. Subscribe now, invite your friends, and I cannot wait to have you join me in these conversations.